Morning, everyone, and welcome to the David Chadwick Show. David is on a personal retreat this weekend, so we thought we would do an encore presentation of a previous show, highlighting a chapter from his book, Moving Beyond Anxiety, 12 Practical Strategies to Renew Your Mind.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a faith and values program that tries to intersect faith and values with different issues that are going on locally, nationally, and globally. It's always a pleasure doing the show for you. Been doing it now for over 20 years. Thank you, listeners, for joining me on a weekly basis. And many thanks to my friends at Perry's Fine Jewelry and Ruth Chris Steakhouse for your sponsorship of the shows. Without you sponsoring the program, I could not do this on a weekly basis. I just want to try, folks, to bring you some hope, to give you some spiritual insights into what may be going on in our city, our nation, and throughout the world during times that are, frankly, quite challenging. We've never seen anything quite like what we're experiencing right now in our city and nation. It is beyond description in some ways. For example, who would have ever thought in Seattle, Washington right now that anarchists would take over 7 city blocks of that city and basically take control and say, try to root us out. We dare you. And the police and other authorities aren't doing anything. Trump cries out, if you guys don't eradicate this particular problem in Seattle, believe me, I'm going to come in and do it myself. So there's all kinds of fomenting of fear and anger, all kinds of hatred that is increasing all around us. And bottom line, what I'm seeing surrounding us is fear. People are just fearful. Their lives have been disrupted. So what I want to do today is to maybe take a glimpse into the eternal, invisible world, where I think God sits on his throne and controls this world. But there is something spiritually that those who are people of faith understand as spiritual warfare. In other words, there's a spiritual enemy of all of our souls, and he simply wants to disrupt. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came to give life and to give it to us abundantly. And I think we'd be wise if people of faith would understand that spiritual reality and what's called spiritual warfare that is influencing, in my opinion, a lot of what's going on. And if we could get a glimpse behind the curtain of the true wizard who's pulling the levers, God himself, who's sitting on his throne controlling everything, I think the fear and hatred would abate and love would increase in our hearts. So today's program wants to focus on that invisible reality. I've asked my friend and producer Ed Billick to open up his microphone and to join me in this discussion. Again, we've had a difficulty getting guests in the studio. So what I'm doing is trying to look at a book I most recently wrote called Moving Beyond Anxiety. It's trying to solve the problem of anxiety in our lives, and it focuses on 12 different strategies to help renew our minds, because I really believe we are what we think. Whatever we think is causing us to feel what we feel, so all of us need to be very careful about what we're placing into our minds. If you look carefully at every news story out there practically, it's saying to us, be fearful, be concerned. You know, the headlines of any newspaper knows if it bleeds, it leads. It's to catch our attention that way. If we're putting that stuff, that fear, into our minds, we can start feeling fear most assuredly. And Ed, I know you feel that, and it's one of the chapters of my book.
You know, Dave, it's interesting, and you say you wrote this book a year and a half ago. Today, chapter 14, right? Realize God did not give you a spirit of fear.
Yeah, it's based on a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where Paul is in the latter stages of his life, may well have been facing death, so he could have been feeling some fear himself. One of the things I love about the Bible is the Bible never sugarcoats its characters. It shares very openly and honestly how all of them were human, and they all had the same struggles that you and I have. And it could well be that Paul was in prison at this point, facing some certain death in a relatively near future. And he writes, God did not give us a spirit of fear. Now, folks, listen to that. If you feel fear today, if your life is upset, God did not give you that. God does not want you to live with a spirit of fear. He wants to give you, the second part of that verse, love, power, and a sound mind. He wants your mind to think rightly. So what I want to do today is look at the invisible world and how the enemy wants to give us fear and to cause hatred. But God wants to give us a spirit, an attitude of love, peace, and a sound mind. But also that spirit could be some kind of dark spiritual agency that wants to come against us, place fear in our hearts so we'll live paralyzed and not enjoy life to the full. So today, let's take a glimpse at that eternal, invisible, real world that exists alongside this one. It's very clearly taught in the Bible, and we'll begin to expose it when we come back. I'm David Chadwick. Ed Billick joins me, and we will be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. I'm taking a bit of a different track today as we continue to deal with two major causes of fear in our culture today. The first is the obvious, the COVID-19 crisis, which has lasted for about 3 months now. It's caused isolation, and folks, there is a reality in psychology that is easily diagnosable. It's called isolation sickness. You can really get sick by being alone. And if you spend too much time without community, you can really get sick in your mind. You start imagining things. You start saying things to yourself that just aren't true. You practice negative self-talk. So COVID has caused that to happen. We have been in isolation. And then the second problem we have is obviously the George Floyd murder. And it was nothing short of a murder. What has made this thing so hideous among all of us is we've actually seen a man murdered. 8 minutes of suffocating right before our eyes. And that has set off race riots all over our nation and indeed the world. My guess is, at least at some level, the isolation sickness has exacerbated the fury of the riots. I think a good number of people have felt like, I'm so tired of being inside. I'm so tired of being alone. The protests gave a good number of people, in their anger and rightful anger, to get out into the streets and to march and protest what happened. But as a result of that, in our culture, you not only have the fear of catching COVID and dying, you now have the hatred and anger of racism that exists in our country. So as you look at fear and anger, they look like two emotions driving a lot of Americans right now. And dear friends, I would say to you that neither of those emotions are good. They just aren't. If you let them exist over a long period of time, they are destructive to you and to other people.
You know, Dave, we have many places to deal with this before COVID. We'd go watch the golf tournaments, you and I, the basketball, the NBA playoffs, baseball. We'd have places to escape. To me, right now, the only place to escape is listening to what God is telling us.
And I want the Lord to use our voices today, Ed, to try to tell people the true source of anger and hatred, that there is an invisible, eternal world that exists alongside this one. It is clearly taught in the Scripture. This world that we're presently in is visible, but it's temporal. There is an invisible, eternal world where God sits on his throne, and that's where we'll ultimately live forever. So I think we need to take a glimpse into that eternal world and see that there is a force of darkness that rebelled against God. In the book of Revelation, this enemy is called Satan. He was originally a high-ranking angel. He wanted Jesus' seat in the Father's hierarchy. He wanted to rule himself, and because of his pride, which is the root of all sin, folks, all of our problems are rooted in pride. I feel like I'm better than you are, and I want what you have. It's the snare to compare. It's saying, again, I'm better than you are. Well, Satan desired that seat of Jesus. He couldn't get it because Jesus is the creator. Satan's the creature. So the enemy led a rebellion in heaven and took one-third of the angels with him. We see his job description in John 10:10. Jesus said, "The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy." That's the enemy's job description. And he has some number of angels who become the demonic hordes who do his bidding. Jesus said in that same verse, "But I came to give life and to give it to you abundantly." Jesus' job description and the job description of the good angels and all of his followers is to give life wherever we can possibly give life. So we need to take a glimpse into that invisible eternal world and see that there are spiritual forces warring against one another, and the enemy wants to destroy what God has created. Dear friends, he wants to destroy you and me. But God has sent his Son into the world to give us his Holy Spirit who lives within us, and we have the power to fight the enemy and win. Indeed, what we Christians believe is what Jesus did on the cross was he defeated the power of sin, death, and the devil. He did so, and the resurrection proves, A, that Jesus is God, but B, that that power that raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 8:11, now lives inside the hearts of all of us who believe, so that we can live like Martin Luther did when he awakened in the middle of the night and purportedly saw the devil himself sitting at the end of his bed, snarling in anger against this man of God, and Luther evidently looked at him and said, "Oh, it's just you," and he went back to sleep. The enemy has no power and authority over those who believe, but he is real, and he has a lot of weaponry he's trying to use today. Now, first of all, let's take a glimpse in the Bible at some places where we see this. One that comes to mind is Daniel, the 10th chapter. Daniel is experiencing great hostility from the king regarding some positions that he has taken worshiping only the one true God. So Daniel is under power from the king to submit, but Daniel will not submit. So what does he do? He prays. And he prays that God would send him spiritual help. Interestingly, Michael, the archangel, came to Daniel after 3 weeks of prayer and fasting, folks. 3 weeks it took Daniel to finally get the intercessory angelic help that he wanted. And Michael said to him, "I tried to get to you, but the prince of Persia did battle with me until I finally defeated him to come."
Prince of Persia? Who's that?
Evidently, Ed, there are powers and principalities in the invisible world, negative forces, demonic oppressions that control nations, that control areas. And there's evidently a demonic force that controlled Persia during that day, and the archangel Michael had trouble getting to Daniel. Interestingly, in the Bible, it's the archangel Michael who ultimately will throw Satan into hell. Interestingly, it's not Jesus who does it. It's the archangel Michael. And I know, Ed, from your Catholic tradition, you guys really do honor the archangel Michael in some wonderful ways.
So many people pray this prayer, David, in many now Catholic churches at the end of Mass. As the priest is leaving the altar, we say, "Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of Heavenly Hosts, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan, all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking to ruin the souls of men." Amen.
There is a prayer that expresses the spiritual warfare that exists in the invisible world. And God's angels are created by God, first of all, to worship the Lord, but we see also in Hebrews chapter 1, their purpose is to come care for God's people. So Psalm 91 says that we can call upon God to send us the angels to help us in our times of need. That's what Daniel was doing. He was asking God to send him an angelic messenger to help him in his time of need. And God sent him actually one of the strongest archangels possible, the archangel Michael himself, who came to help him.
And in our world of instant gratification, St. Michael just didn't show up yesterday, or I mean, just like in an hour or two later. What was it, 3 weeks?
Three weeks. And it proves there's some kind of spiritual opposition that is in the invisible eternal world with angels and other help trying to get to us in our times of need. So we've got to continue to use spiritual weapons to fight against the enemy. You can't defeat a rattlesnake with a water gun. You've got to use spiritual weapons to defeat the enemy. Prayer, fasting, faith, worship, praise, all those spiritual weapons need to be used in order to conquer him. And then Michael gave Daniel what he needed to continue to walk in faith and ultimately be lifted up by the king and placed in positions of power and authority. In Job, the first chapter, Job, a righteous man, and Satan comes to God and says, "Consider your servant Job." And I've often said, I hope Satan never goes to God and says, "Consider your servant David Chadwick," you know. But he looks at the righteousness of Job and said, "He's righteous because you've blessed him so much. Take away all his blessings and he won't love you." And so God gives permission for Satan to take away Job's family in some ways and all of his riches. And you see then Job's battle through the whole book of Job, trying to figure out why he is suffering the way that he's suffering. And he ends the whole idea in Job 42 that God dealt with some of his self-righteousness, dealt with some of his bitterness and unforgiveness, but then restored him, Job 42:10, two times. But the point being that Satan is a creature, God's the creator. Satan had to ask permission to attack, but Ed, he did attack. He did come after Job. It's another evidence of what goes on in that invisible eternal world can affect us here. Now, you have other examples in Luke 22, for example. Jesus says to Peter, "Satan has asked permission to sift you like wheat." In fact, some translations say that Satan has demanded. What arrogance. What pride. He has demanded, Peter, to sift you like wheat. And the point there being, again, that Satan had to ask permission before he did his dirty work, but he wanted to do his dirty work to Peter as he wants to do it to us. What I want to talk about in the next segment, Ed, is this reality. Jesus was accused by the religious leaders of his day that he was in league with Beelzebub, the devil himself. Jesus cast out demons, and the religious leader said, "Oh, you're in league with Satan himself." And Jesus responded by saying, "How can that be? How can I cast out the demonic world, the dark world, if I'm on that team?" That's impossible. And then he uses this phrase, "For a house divided against itself cannot stand." And that's what Abraham Lincoln quoted in the Civil War when he said, "A nation divided against itself cannot stand." A house can be a nation, it can be an individual house or an individual person. You've got to be united. And so I really believe that one of Satan's major tools is to divide. He wants to come against us and create fear and hatred, as we see fear with COVID-19, hatred with the race riots. And if he can get us to be fearful and hate one another, we'll divide and he can do whatever he wants to do. Let's look at our need to be unified and loving when we come back. I'm David Chadwick with Ed Billick, and we will be right back.
We are many, yet we are one. We are separate, yet bound in his love. And together, we are all his hands and his feet, bringing mercy and peace to this world. We are many and one.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Wow. I love the words to that song, that those of us who believe come together as a common body of Christ, and we are literally the hands and feet of Jesus, loving and caring for this very broken world. You know, what I've been trying to talk about today, and if you'd like to hear the program in its entirety, go to WBT.com and scroll down to the weekend shows. You can hear this podcast from beginning to end, is the reality of the invisible eternal world that's alongside this visible and temporal world. Folks, we're going to live in that world forever, not in this world. Death proves that reality. And in that invisible world, there is a demonic reality, a force of evil. And I believe with all of my heart that there is this one named Satan in the Bible. That name means the destroyer. Another name for him in the Bible is the devil, which means the divider. That describes what he wants to do. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to divide nations. He wants to divide families. He wants to divide friendships. And as he divides, he can conquer. And that's what Jesus meant when he said in Mark 3, when he was accused by the religious leaders of being in league with the devil himself, Jesus responded and said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. There's no way that he could cast out demons but be on the side of the devil himself. So Lincoln quoted that in Mark from Mark 3 in his Gettysburg Address when he said a nation divided against itself can't stand. Families divided against themselves can't stand. If you have the enemy attacking you, you've got to find out how to withstand his spiritual evil attacks. And what I want to talk about in this segment is what is our option? You don't have to live in this culture amidst a group of people who are constantly angry and want to divide. You don't have to give in to the fear of the COVID crisis that is consuming our hearts. There is an answer, and God so loved the world that he sent his son into the world. And what those of us who are followers of Jesus believe, that as we choose to die to self, to die with Jesus on the cross, that we are raised to new life, and he gives us the Holy Spirit, the power of God from on high to live in our hearts. And when the Holy Spirit consumes us, we no longer have fear, but we have faith. We no longer have hatred, we have love. And as I look at the world today and what COVID and these protests have done, they've created fear and anger. Behind that, I believe with all of my heart, I see the enemy. And I know we need to have racial justice in this world. But racial justice, as Martin Luther King pointed out, will never come about through hatred. Hatred only increases hatred. Anger only increases anger. You reap what you sow. What Jesus came to do is to put love in our hearts, forgiveness in our hearts. And when people of goodwill with that love in our hearts come together, we form what's called the church. The word church means ekklesia in the Greek, the called out ones who come together in that love, and we are a force from God against all fear and all anger. We say, we know, as we look at fear, that our God sits on the throne, that he is sovereign, that he's ruling over this world, that even the demons themselves, even Satan himself, have to bend their knee in God's presence. He is authoritative over every demonic horde in the world. And that's what Philippians 2 means when it says, and one day when Jesus returns, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. The most antagonistic, evil person in the world will one day bend their knee to Jesus. They have to, because he is Lord. Whether we recognize it or not, he is Lord. And so when he gives us, first of all, the gift of faith, realizing he's on the throne of our hearts, ruling over everything, and then he gets us together to fight against anger and hatred, replacing it with his unconditional love. Jesus said in John 13, 34 and 35, by this will the world know that you're my followers, by the way that you love one another. When the true church binds together to operate in love, we confront that hatred and the hatred melts away and the demonic forces behind it melt away. And I believe with all of my heart that's the answer. It's when we die to self, receive our own forgiveness from Jesus, have his Holy Spirit who lives inside of us increase our faith and our love, and then together with other Christians, Ed, Roman Catholics and Protestants coming together in the larger body of Christ, ministering to this nation in love, I think that's what will ultimately heal our land.
David, your words are so inspiring. Your words getting us fired up. What can we do, like, starting now? What can we do to help that cause? And with for internally, how do we feel better about that? Then how do we share that with others?
Well, the first thing is to realize how we started the program, looking at that verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where Paul is facing perhaps a beheading in the Marmatine in a Roman prison. What he says to Timothy and to all of us is, God has not given you a spirit of fear. So if you've got a spirit of fear about COVID-19, you're fearful of death, we'll deal with the death issue right now. Receive Jesus, and you know you have the gift of eternal life. You're never going to have to worry about death. Death is merely an entrance into eternity. And really, you go to sleep, and you wake up in Jesus' presence. It really is that simple. That's what death is. So all of us who go to sleep at nights, just imagine waking up the next morning, and you're looking into the perfect face of love. That's really death. So you don't fear that anymore. God hasn't given you that spirit of fear, but he has given you a spirit, his Holy Spirit, of love, power, and a sound mind. Let's reverse that. First of all, a sound mind. It's a mind that thinks right thoughts. If we are what we think, this is what I say in my book, Moving Beyond Anxiety. If we are what we think, God gives us a sound mind. It's a mind that thinks rightly, that sees God's on his throne. We don't need to worry about anything. That sees God's power as being greater than the power of darkness. We see God being able to defeat the enemy in every possible way. We believe that. That's our sound mind. We know he's sitting on the throne. We need worry nor fear about anything. Also, he's given us power, the power inside of us. And that's what the Bible means when it says, he who lives in us is greater than he who lives in the world, 1 John 4:4. So the power of Jesus that lives in us is greater than any enemy demonic force in the world. We have that power in us, but also he's given us love. So, Ed, I think it's just as simple as this. Find ways to love. Find someone today to love. Especially find someone of a different skin color than you are and love them. Listen to their reality, how they may have been profiled, how they may have been prejudiced against in our nation, how for them the Confederate flag, for example, as NASCAR eliminated that this week in its entirety, represents for them slavery, oppression, and them being only 3/5 human, which is what our fathers who founded our nation in writing the Constitution had to finally declare in order for there to be unity in the Constitution, that blacks are only 3/5 human. Just go to people and love them and say, you know, that's not true, and I don't believe that. You're an image bearer of God. You're created beautifully and wonderfully by him, and I love you deeply. Find a way to send a kid who is impoverished to college. My wife, Marilyn, established a scholarship fund called Seeds of Hope Scholarships. It is to try to give at-risk kids a chance to get an education, because education is still the way to overcome all problems in the world. She did that and started that, and we sent over 30 kids to college over the last years. That was her way of trying to combat anger, hatred, racism, and those kind of things.
And the anger that turns to hatred also is the conservatives and liberals. You're for Trump, you're against Trump, and this whole kind of anti-Trump or pro-Trump, and it just causes disruptions in families and friends. How do you get away from all that and still love your neighbor?
Every person, whether Republican or Democrat, goes to God and doesn't let Trump or Biden or the party itself define what they believe. They believe what God believes, and God has said we're all image bearers, made in the image of the Lord himself, and we are called to love our neighbors and to give them love. So we choose, Ed, not to be influenced by a party or our prejudices. We choose to be influenced by God, a sound mind that loves as he wants us to love, and then we take acts of love to people who need that love, and especially conquering the barriers of hatred that separate us so much today. We will not let the evil demonic forces of darkness win. We will not. We will stand as the people of God, walking together in his love, caring for one another, no matter what our background may be, no matter what our skin color may be. We choose to love. We choose to walk in hope. We will not let despair conquer us. We believe that the spiritual forces of darkness have been defeated by Jesus in his death and resurrection, and we will be the people of God who know that we win ultimately one day. That's our truth, and that's what we'll cling to until Jesus returns. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. Well, I want to bring this idea that I've been trying to get across through the program to bear now in our final segment, and that is our call as followers of God is to love one another, to fight fear, to fight hatred, to overcome despair. But I wanted to give this illustration as something that I think all of us need to consider. I recently had my seventh grandchild born, and he's a beautiful baby, Charlie, 10-pounder. Can you imagine?
Oh, big boy.
He was a big one. And right about 3-4 weeks before that Charlie was born, his mama had what are called Braxton Hicks contractions. They aren't the real deal, but they're warning that the real deal's coming. Now, I take that as an illustration. Jesus said that he's coming back. And he said when he comes back, he's going to judge all hatred, anger, and fear. It's just not going to be a part of the eternal kingdom. Now, the Braxton Hicks contraction warned my daughter-in-law that in a few weeks, the real deal's happening. I believe that Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24 that before he comes back, there's going to be all kinds of fear and anger and hatred that exists in the world. And I think these are warning signs. They're Braxton Hicks contractions that one day he is coming back. And dear friends, all I want to say to you today is, are you ready to meet him? Are you ready to meet him? You have warnings that were prophesied in the Bible that these things will happen. Nations will rise up against nations. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be increasing numbers of earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes and those kind of things. And Paul says in Romans 8 that creation is groaning for the day of redemption, for the day of the baby being born, if you will. Well, that's going to happen. As the culture around us shows us that the prophecies of the Bible will take place, here's the question. Are you ready? So why not today make yourself ready? Say, I want God's love to be in my heart. I want to be forgiven of my sins. I know what happened on that cross. I know the resurrection proves it. I want to be forgiven of my sins. And I want that new power, that new love, and that sound mind to enter my heart. And dear friends, then unite yourself with other people who have that same reality and commit now to fight evil on every corner. It begins by saying, first of all, with the COVID crisis, if there's a second wave, so what? I believe God sits on his throne. He's in control over it. If I die, I die, and I step into eternity. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 15, when he realized he was going to live forever, death, where's your victory? Death, where's your sting? He knew that he had the gift of eternal life, and therefore he didn't worry about death. So let's fight that fear of death. And also, folks, let's fight the anger and hatred that's in our world. Let us try to move forward in love, making sure that we understand what's going on in the lives of those with a darker skin color who have gone through prejudice and profile. Let's understand that. Let's try to be a people who are compassionate in every way. But then let's unite together of people of love. People in all different kinds of backgrounds, in all different kinds of churches, all different kinds of denominations. Let's unite together as the larger body of Christ. And let's say we're fed up with this mess. We're fed up with hatred. We're fed up with anger. We're fed up with prejudice. We're fed up with all the things that kill, steal, and destroy. We will not let the enemy win. Because he's not going to win, folks. I can promise you that in the second coming, he will be cast into hell with all of his demons. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 25:41 that hell was created for the devil and his demons. God knew that. That's going to be his eternal home. And he knows it. And why his anger is exacerbated and enlarged right now? Because he knows the day is getting closer when Jesus will come back. He knows those contractions aren't just Braxton Hicks contractions. They're real contractions. So he is working overtime to divide. Remember, that's what the word devil means. He wants to divide your families, make your marriages strong. He wants to divide this nation. Let's come together in our common cause and our beautiful Constitution. And he wants to divide the world. So let's make sure we come together and say, no, not us. We're going to be a people of unity, a people of love, a people of compassion, a people of hope, a people of kindness, a people of giving our lives away. We're not going to live in the lusts of this world. We're going to live in the love of the Lord. And as we do that, we will have a better world in which to live. Ed, I know you believe that as well.
David, I tell you, in the 6 years I've been with you, you are inspired. The Holy Spirit has you on fire today, and I want to thank you for all these great words. By the way, folks, if you missed part of the show, you can listen to the podcast, as David said, but also replays at noon today here on WBT.
And I'll also be doing this online, momentsofhopechurch.org, online at my 9 and 11 services today, if you'd like to hear it that way. And I'm just tired. I'm tired of the fear that has caused people to be paralyzed. I'm tired of the anger that is destroying people's lives and property. It's just time for the people of God to rise up and say, no more. We're just not going to put up with prejudice, anger, hatred anymore. We're going to live as a common people, breathing the same air in a common humanity. All of us, one race. There aren't multiple races. There's one race, the human race. We have a common color. It's not black or white. It's red. We all have the same blood that's pulsating through our veins. It's time to love one another, folks. It's time to quit the destruction, to fight the enemy and say, no more. You don't have any power, any authority over my life. I'm living in love with my people around me, in love, and I'm going to be a part of the cure and not the problem. I believe that with all of my heart can happen if we'll just make that commitment today, folks. So let me end today's show, Ed. Let's pray. Over the last 2-3 months, we've ended every show in prayer because of all the fear and all the hatred that's out there. One of the spiritual weapons that God has given us is prayer. You can't fight a rattlesnake with a water gun. You can't fight the enemy with fleshly weapons. It doesn't work. You've got to use spiritual weapons. So let's use one of those weapons right now in prayer. Would you join me? Heavenly Daddy, Jesus, you called your Father in heaven Daddy, a colloquial Aramaic expression, the most intimate possible expression of a child to her father. That's how you called Daddy, Daddy. We come to you today in Jesus' name, and we pray, Lord, that you would give us freedom from all our fears. Let us get a glimpse in the eternal world of you sitting on your throne. And if that's true, you control everything. The higher we go and sit with you on that throne, the smaller our problems become. Lord, the COVID problem will go away in Jesus' name. We believe that. I pray someone would find a cure. I pray it would go away during the summer, during the heat. It just evaporates and is not a part of our lives anymore. I pray that you wouldn't allow a second wave, Lord. If that happens, though, we will not be afraid. We know you're in control. We know you have total authority over everything. And Lord, I pray for all the hatred and strife that is in people's hearts. I pray, Lord, first of all, those of us with different skin colors would remember there's one race, one human race. We're a part of it. And could we dare, Lord Jesus, obey your command to love one another? By this, the world will know that you're mine, by the way we love one another. And Lord, I also ask that we would have some kind of reconciliation that would allow our nation and our city to come together and find common ways to help people in upward mobility, help them succeed in life, to eliminate the barriers of any prejudice, any anger, that would allow all our little ones, those in our public and even private schools, to succeed. We breathe a common air. We eat a common food. Lord, let us be a common people who come together and fight for one another's rights so that, Lord, you would succeed. We come against the enemy and all of his wiles to kill, steal, and destroy. We will not let his anger rule in our hearts. We will let love rule. And as we love one another, Lord, we know we have a lifetime's worth of work in doing that love with our neighbors. Thank you for your presence today on the show. Thank you for Ed Billick. Thank you for all the listeners. Bless them, oversee them, take care of them. I pray this in the one's name I know is my Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen.